Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
One of the most common features of any superhero movie is the villains. Villains have become just as iconic in their own right as the heroes. Now, even us as Christians, we too struggle with various enemies. Now, we will examine some of these enemies and try to determine which one is our greatest enemy, or rather, which is our arch nemesis. When thinking about the Christian's primary enemy, most people would start with the devil, Satan. The devil is the common enemy for every believer. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of information about this enemy called the devil. Throughout the pages of Scripture, the devil is at work from Genesis, the Garden of Eden, all the way until Revelation and Armageddon. I believe that the Bible gives us so much information about the devil because with knowledge comes wisdom. And we need to know who we are up against because the devil has many faces of evil. You see, the Bible tells us that the devil was once a mighty angel who fell because he sought to elevate himself above God. He was an angel who was found to have the spirit of pride. He desired to be worshipped. He desired to be all-powerful. The Bible tells us that our enemy, the devil, was cast to earth, and he has since sought to make war against God's people. This enemy, called the devil, is a deceiver. The Bible tells us that he is a thief and the father of lies. We are told that he is an accuser of God's people. We are even told that he masquerades like an angel of light. Surely, the devil is a formidable enemy. But the Bible also gives us the tools to defeat the devil. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. Apostle Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God to protect against the principalities and powers. Jesus reminds us that Scripture is a powerful defense against the devil from his experience of being tempted in the wilderness. And so, the devil is an enemy who comes in many forms. But thankfully, the Bible tells us exactly how we can deal with him. We can resist him. We can fight him with the full armor of God, and we can use God's word against him. Now, another common enemy we ought to be aware about is the world. The Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity toward God. The Bible says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them." As Christians, we are told we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, let's be clear. The world is not the people of the world. We are not called to be separate from people. The world, as the Bible describes it, is a system that operates against God. It is the world system. It is the world's moral standards that we are told to be separate from. It is the system that started with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, where he decided he would establish his own rules and way of living. It's the system that led to the world being destroyed by a flood and Noah building an ark under God's instruction. The world system is what led to Sodom and Gomorrah being judged by God. You see, as believers, we are told that the world will hate us because they have hated Christ, and we are his. However, we are also told that Christ has overcome the world. Therefore, we need not fear the world. So we've established the following. The devil is our common enemy as believers. The world is also our common enemy as believers. I personally believe that our greatest enemy is not the devil. I believe that our greatest enemy is not this world. My dear friends, I submit to you that The greatest enemy that a Christian must face is self. It's the flesh. You can resist the devil and he will flee according to the Bible. We can be in the world but not of the world according to the Bible. Our flesh can be our greatest adversary because we can't separate ourselves from ourselves. The flesh won't flee if you resist it. It will come to tempt you again and again. You can resist your flesh.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Today, but that same temptation will come back to test your flesh tomorrow. And you'll have to resist your flesh once more. Consider this. When the devil wants to tempt you, he predominantly appeals to the flesh. When the world tempts you, it appeals to the flesh. Jesus tells us that unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless the flesh, the self, is reborn and recreated into a new self, we will constantly be at battle within ourselves. The Bible tells us that in Christ, we are new creations. Paul describes an elaborate internal battle where the things that he wants to do, he doesn't do, and the things he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing. This intense internal struggle describes not only Paul's experience, but all of ours. We all have this internal struggle within us. We all have this battle between our flesh and the spirit. The spirit tries to pull us toward God. The flesh pulls us away from God. The spirit pulls us toward life. The flesh pulls us toward death. The spirit is our inner light. The flesh is our inner darkness. The spirit produces fruit of the spirit. The flesh produces its various lusts. One of the solutions that the Bible presents is that we must crucify the flesh. What does that mean? One way to look at it is that there are two types of seeds in us. There is a seed of light and a seed of darkness. The seed of darkness is the flesh, and the seed of light is the spirit. Now, keep in mind that Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The more of Christ you have, the brighter the light in your life. If we feed and water the seed of light, which is your spirit, it will grow brighter and brighter, and this light will give no place to darkness. However, if we water and feed the seed of darkness, which is our flesh, then the darkness is what will grow. It's the things we watch, the things we listen to, and the company we keep. All of these things determine whether the light of Jesus Christ takes over in your life or the darkness of sin takes over. So, crucifying the flesh really means starving the seed of darkness within you. We must starve the flesh. This means we can't watch everything the flesh may want to watch. We can't listen to everything the flesh may want to listen to. We can't hang out with people that will only feed our fleshly desires and intents. We must starve the flesh. We must starve that seed of darkness that seeks to sin and rebel against God. Now, how can we feed the light? How can we feed the Spirit? Psalm chapter 119, verse 11 tells us, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." This means that the way we feed the Spirit is by diving into the Word of God. The way we feed the light in our lives is through the Word of God. We need to allow the Word to speak to us and flow through us. The Word of God is the best instruction manual when it comes to how we can defeat the devil, the world, and the flesh. As I have stated, our greatest enemy is the flesh because it's an enemy that we have to fight daily. It's an enemy that we have to crucify daily. However, the good news is that we have the tools to subdue our greatest enemy. God has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to defeat the flesh. When you focus on Jesus Christ, when you focus on the Word of God, when you focus on prayer, then the light of Christ inside of you will grow brighter and brighter.
There are people out there who battle with many things each and every day. Some people wake up and the enemy they face is called depression. Others wake up and their enemy is worry. Some will find that the minute they open their eyes, that giant adversary called anxiety or disease is looking at them straight in the face. These are hidden battles, but perhaps the underlying force or spirit behind many negative feelings is fear. Fear will cause someone to be anxious all the time. Fear will displace the joy in someone's life and leave them dejected, depressed, and feeling hopeless. Fear will magnify the tragedy and blind you to everything else that is good or everything else that is a blessing from God. You see, fear is more than just a negative thought. It's more than an emotion. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." The Amplified translation elaborates and says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Fear is a spirit. The Bible does not say God did not give us a feeling or an emotion called fear. No, it says He didn't give us a spirit of fear.
I had to look deep at what was holding me back. I had to find those things and really say, "I'm leaving you behind so that I can follow Jesus." Anything draining and everything toxic had to go. Any bitterness from the failures of the past, all the hurt and the pain, I had to leave it all behind. And I want to encourage you to do the same too. Take your marriage to another level, believing God for a complete turnaround. If it's a job or your finances, tell God about it and believe He will make a way. If it's your health and you need healing, tell God about it. If you're stuck in some bad circumstance, tell God about it. And if you're encouraged, that's good. But that's not to say you won't come face to face with challenging tests. But even so, don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't waver to the left or to the right. God's not going to leave you out to dry. He won't leave you alone. But like the book of Joshua chapter 1 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God is with you, so keep your eyes on Him and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
I really need you to understand that if you're a believer, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you find yourself facing something, an issue, a problem, a job loss, heartache, it will be okay. It may not seem like it now, but keep trusting, keep believing, stick with God even though it's tough. If you leave now, where are you going to go? Who will you believe and trust to deliver you? Here's what the Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, But, here's the game changer. The Lord delivers him from them all. There is no condition that the Lord will deliver you from these problems, but others, you'll have to figure them out for yourself. No, he delivers you from them all. That's everything. Pain, emotional pain, physical pain, heartache. He will deliver you from them all. Stay obedient, stay faithful, and sure enough, God will lift you.
It's quite easy to see things that are wrong in the world and become fearful. In fact, we live in a world that promotes a spirit of fear. You turn on the news and you'll be told of a new outbreak happening here, or the food shortages happening there, or the violence taking place over there. We live in a culture where bad news receives more coverage than good news. Tragedy, controversy, and disaster is what makes the headlines more often than the good and the charitable. Now, in the church, well, unfortunately, there is a minority in the church of today that is also contributing to the negativity of the world. You see, when Jesus walked the earth, he was seen to love those who were in need of love, the sinners. But in some parts of the church today, there are many who neglect those who need to be shown the love of Christ because, well, they love themselves. Jesus was seen to love those who seemed unlovable, the outcasts of society, the woman at the well with many husbands, those crippled by leprosy, the woman with the issue of blood, the tax collectors. Jesus loved those considered to be the lowest of the low. But in the church today, some leaders choose to only love and associate with people who have a celebrity status or those considered to be the somebodies of this world. You don't have to look far to find something negative to dwell on in or out of the church. And so, as believers in Jesus Christ, how can we fight against these negative things that we're bombarded with? How can we combat negative, depressing, and fearful thoughts? I believe that we have to devote ourselves to doing God's work. We have to meditate on God's word, and we have to consistently remember and remind ourselves of God's goodness. I want you to notice how all three of those elements are God-centered. God's work, God's word, and God's goodness. In all things, keep your eyes on God. This isn't to say ignore what's going on around you, but don't dwell or focus on it. Your focus is extremely important.
I can tell you from my own experience that the problems of life can sometimes come upon us with no warning. And before we can get one thing straightened out, something else comes up. Have you ever felt like that? Before you can put one problem to rest, you find yourself facing another. So when storms come, we need to consistently be paddling and praying. We need to constantly be moving forward and believing. We need to be seeking His help with an expectation of His arrival. And storms can affect your home. Storms can affect your health. Storms can affect your relationship or marriage. Storms can affect our lives in so many ways. There are the storms of loneliness and depression, the storms of separation, bitterness, and unforgiveness. But as children of God, when you're in a storm, there are some things you need to get rid of. Certain things weigh you down when you're in a storm. Naysayers, the people who speak negativity into your life, the people who have no faith and no hope, those toxic people will weigh you down. There are certain habits you need to let go of. When you're in a storm, it's time to focus on the Word of God. It's time to focus on prayer. It's time to focus on worship. Some things in your life need to be thrown overboard so that they don't weigh you down. Let me tell you what God is saying to you today. When you pass through deep waters, God will be with you. When you pass through winding rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. Why? Because in any storm, in every storm, God is with you.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.